Welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly exploration of science, health, and technology. I'm Lucas Hudson. Andrew Bujalski is a longtime filmmaker. This year, the True False Film Festival includes Bujalski's latest film, Computer Chess. It's a fictional movie set 30 years ago. It focuses on chess software programmers competing in a weekend tournament. Bujalski is best known for creating the mumblecore genre with his 2002 film, Funny Ha Ha.
Well, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I think I'm just going to try to get a job waiting tables or something.
That's cool. That's a great idea.
Yeah, we'll be all right.
Mumblecore films are generally low budget and focus on the mundane existence of early adult life. Bujalski joins us from Austin, Texas. He tells KBIA producer Scott Pham more about his latest work.
It's a real oddball kind of period piece about computer chess programmers circa late 70s, early 80s. So I think most people, if they are familiar with the concept of computer chess, probably would be through the IBM program Deep Blue, which beat Garry Kasparov in 1997. He was the world reigning human champion at the time, and this was a real watershed moment for artificial intelligence when a computer proved its superiority over basically all human beings in the game of chess. But our story takes place, 15 or 20 years before that, when really kind of at the dawn of the digital age as we know it, and it's about a group of programmers having a weekend tournament at a hotel, pitting their programs against each other. Still a long ways away from defeating humans, but headed there.
I want to get a little deeper into the subject matter, which is kind of the odd thing about this movie. Mm-hmm. What inspired you to delve into this subject?
It's so hard to reconstruct. I don't know. This was a fantasy project of mine for years. We shot it on a very peculiar old video format. We shot it on video cameras from 1969. So they're black and white. It's an analog tube camera. For anybody who's who can remember any of that really old footage, I think the thing people most associated with it is that, if you point these video cameras at a bright light and then pan away, the image of the light will stay burned into the image for a while. It's an effect they call ghosting effect. It started with what kind of movie could you make with this camera? What story belongs in this, the language of images? And I've always liked chess. I like playing as a kid, but I've never been any good at it. I'm a terrible player. I never had the discipline to study up on it. And kind of ditto for computers. I mean, I grew up in an era, of course, when computers were starting to dominate our lives. And so I think chess and computers, of course, are both very rich veins of metaphor for a storyteller to draw from.
Mm-hmm. Something that I have to ask you about is you are, of course, best known for inaugurating what some people call the mumblecore genre. And is this a mumblecore film? Would you feel comfortable with calling it that, or do you think you're far away from that now?
I never to say that I'm more or less okay with it just means that I accept my my lot in life. I'm a very accepting Zen mm-hmm. kind of guy, but I never loved it or never thought that it was particularly accurate. Certainly about what I set out to do. I mean, nobody. I don't think anybody, certainly not me, ever set out to make a mumblecore movie. It's interesting to me to follow the evolution of that word and its place in popular culture, but it's never had anything to do with how I conceived of my own movie, certainly. And so, it's almost more a media narrative than anything. I sort of think that I feel like the story out there these days will be that this is not mumblecore, and yet I kind of think maybe if I had released the same thing 4 or 5 years ago, they would call it mumblecore because that was the media was excited about that then and they're ready to move on now.
I like this idea of kind of exploring the beginnings of the tech age. It's kind of like a kind of exploring a contemporary history in some ways. Do you think there's a growing interest in this idea? I'm thinking about the Steve Jobs movie, and I'm thinking about the Facebook movie and all these kind of attempts to tell the pretty recent narratives of people that have kind of shaped technology as we know it.
Oh yeah, I think absolutely. And again, it's been a surprise to me. I mean, I think I didn't know until we premiered the movie about a month ago that I had made something zeitgeisty. That was a surprise to me, but I'm delighted. yeah, I mean, we've, especially now, you know, this movie takes place late 70s, early 80s, so I was a small child then, but it's stuff that a whole generation has grown up with. I think we're just starting now to wrap our heads around what happened. It's, you know, we're starting to try to measure the impact. I mean, for years, well before the digital age as we know it, I mean, of course, you know, in the 1940s, you can find people theorizing on coming technology and what it might do for us and to us. But of course, that's not always been predictable. It hasn't always shaped us the way we thought it would.
One thing that we should mention explicitly that we haven't yet is that even though this film was being showed in the True False Documentary and Film Festival, it's not a documentary. It's fiction with casted characters.
Well, you know, we certainly borrow a lot from documentary. And I think for the first, you know, if you walked in with really not knowing what you're seeing for the first minute or so, you might believe it's documentary. And then it doesn't take too much longer than that for it to start to get strange. We were throwing so many things in the blender with this movie, so many different ideas and approaches. So there is a kind of aspect of quote unquote mockumentary to it, but I think that's really not the center of it. That said, I think that all of my movies, to some extent, have borrowed heavily, even if not you know, in kind of a explicit formal recreation of documentary tropes. I think I've always borrowed heavily from documentary, and documentary is my training, really. That's what I studied film as an undergraduate at Harvard, which has the backbone of their program really is documentary filmmaking, and it's influenced everything about how I think about filmmaking. I believe that I think any kind of filmmaker, even if you're an animator or even if you're, you know, make the whole movie in your computer, CGI these days, documentary is incredibly valuable training because it teaches you really to deal with the material that you have as opposed to the material that you think you have or you want to have. And, you know, one way or another, every filmmaker has that reckoning where they have to learn the difference between what they thought they were going to get and what they got. And documentary just teaches you that in the most direct and sometimes brutal way possible.
Well, thank you for your time, Andrew. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
If you'd like to see photos and learn more about computer chess, visit kbia.org. I'm Lucas Edston. Thanks for listening.